That'd be dicey. Yeah, the UConn women might win that one. All right, let's get to disappearing. This is something Gordo's infatuated with. He's always wanted to
stop
be able to disappear.
We're all you're the one who talks about you have all these plans for if you need to escape the country. You've got it figured out.
No, that is my fantasy that I'm on the lam. How long could I stay away from the feds?
Okay, but yes, if you're on the lam, you're on the lam for something pretty big, like murder or something.
Maybe.
But even if you're not up on charges...
He fantasizes about murder.
No,
you're just ignoring
I fantasize about the chase.
After you've murdered someone.
Not the crime, the chase.
I've daydreamed about that before. Just how long...
Murdering someone.
No. But how long could you live without anyone finding you?
Could you make it to the border? And
no. I think this is so much harder than you guys think it is.
All right. Well, in the November issue of Men's Journal, they do an interview with this guy. He tells his story. They don't give his name, I don't believe, because he's got to stay secretive, because his job is to help people disappear.
Yes. Name Marino.
So I'll read from his story. My clients range from the paranoid, Gordon, to the extremely wealthy, Gordon.
That's Craig.
I hear from victims of dangerous stalkers and the corporate whistleblower who thinks retribution is finally coming his way. This past year, it's been mostly people in the financial industry.
Whoops.
Many people contact me thinking I'm going to hook them up with a fake passport and a whole new identity, but only the government can do that, like a witness relocation program or something. He says, what I do is make people hard to track down using a three-step process: misinformation, disinformation, and reformation. The first step means erasing and deviating publicity and publicly available information on a person. The second, disinformation, comes down to creating and spreading false leads about his whereabouts. I might take your debit card and have different people around the world make transactions so it looks like you're living in different places.
Awesome.
The third step is reformation, getting the person I'm disappearing to a destination without anybody finding out. I'll teach the client how to live under the name of a dummy corporation, open offshore accounts, use only prepaid phones, and create complicated phone and mail forwarding systems.
Great success.
I've got a partner. She helps me disappear people. We have a rigorous method. She goes over my tracks, seeing if she can find my client. We do that until she can't find anything. I rarely hear from my clients ever again. Payment is up front, and I charge $12,000 to $25,000 for each case.
Fascinating.
I want this chances.
For Christmas.
I'd say the $12,000, just make that cash for myself and figure it out for myself and not use this dude. And that's the key, right? A lot of cash.
You couldn't do it.
A lot of cash. You'd need to... How would you get away to another location without taking your own vehicle or without taking a flight? How would you do that? How would you get from here to nowhere?
Steal a car?
Yeah, then without committing a crime. Let's put that on there, too.
Oh. I don't know. Here's the other thing is, how do you really disappear in today's America when you got a video camera trained on you at least 60% of the time?
Yeah.
Every time you make a purchase, whether it's with cash or whatever, you got a video camera on you.
How do you establish residency? If you want to stay in a hotel or you want to rent an apartment, you got to show them some documentation. How do you do all that?
I think that if you don't have to show the driver's license, you're okay. Because there was a guy who used to work on our sister station, 570, who taught me this trick. If you want to get a credit card in a different name, you can do that.
Really?
Yes. And the way you do it is when you apply for a credit card,
really?
They'd always ask you, do you want to add an authorized user to this card? And you say yes, and you put your alias there. Then you use that credit card that only has the alias's name on it.
Couldn't they quickly trace that, though? Go to your credit card company and say,
well,
yeah, he also has
that's just
alias.
The first step. Then
then you're on your own. What about the trailer park? You don't need a lot of documentation just to have a trailer someplace, do you?
Yeah, I think
like
you do.
Like an RV park or something?
There's documentation everywhere. And once all databases get merged into one, we're going to be living in a default, de facto Big Brother society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're headed that way. He says, here's how not to disappear. four mistakes that people make all the time. One, forging a new identity. He says the easiest way is to buy one, possibly from a crooked official, but there's not exactly a better business bureau for black market identities. How do you know the new identity doesn't have a warrant or a bad FICO score or it isn't on a watch list? He says that's the worst way to go, is to buy a new identity from somebody. Number two, faking your own death. He says your exit should go unnoticed, like taking a walk in the park and then getting lost in the crowd. He says so many people fake their own death, put an obituary in the paper.
We've heard of that.
We have heard of that. We know somebody who's done that.
Wait, who is that? It was a... Who?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Number three mistake that people make, Googling themselves through IP addresses and Facebook and all this. It's so easy to track people down. They say you've just got to stay offline, basically.
I can do that.
Really? You and can't Google yourself? And that's 70% of my internet time.
And number four mistake, sneaking home. You hear through the grapevine that your younger sister is about to get married or the uncle who taught you how to drive is about to pass away. Don't ever consider disguising yourself or attending a family event. People will find you.
Gordo shows up with a huge gray beard and sitting in the back. It's a hook-on.
Ridiculous. Ridiculous hook-on beard and like
Amish hat on.
Yahoo Serious wig.
And he says that he used to be a skip tracer. He used to find people for a living. Instead of making them disappear, he used to find people. And he says that he was trying to track this guy down for a client. And he said, one day the client told me that this guy we were searching for was a big muscle car fan. So I started calling magazines, muscle car magazines, in the hopes that maybe he had kept a subscription. So he would call every magazine and say, hi, this is Joe Blow, the guy's name. I didn't get my magazine this month. What address are you sending it to? Finally, he got a magazine that the guy was subscribing to and said, oh, we've been sending it to this P.O. box in Athens, Georgia. So the guy wanted to disappear, but he found out that he was living in Athens, Georgia through a magazine subscription. Mm-hmm. So you got to watch all those loose ends you got to tie up.
You know who's the best detective up here, don't you?
Yeah.
You're looking at him. You're looking at him, George.
You're way too nosy.
So being a skip tracer, he said, I have to always worry about the skip tracer that somebody might hire to find one of my clients. So there was this son trying to find his father. And it's not as innocent as it sounds. The son was kind of evil, it sounds like. And so the guy's trying to hide his father. So he says, I had to worry about the son's skip tracer. I needed to tire him out by leaving enough fake leads so that he would give up. I convinced him that the father was living in Chicago, but when the son would call the phone number, he kept getting his own home voicemail. What I had done was get a phone line under his father's name installed in a vacant lot in Chicago, and then I put the number on remote call forwarding to the son's house. So the
creepy
son would call the father but get his own voicemail. He said, I think at that point the son realized that his father had taught him a lesson and he would never find him.
So maybe that'll be the challenge of 2011. One of us tries to disappear. The P1 who finds us gets a prize. And we'll see how long we could go.
I could find you. I could find you.
I don't think you could.
I could. I found people in your past with just two or three clues. You give me their name.
You're looking up a name. You got to find me.
No, you have to triangulate people.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take this little tidbit, exactly like that guy did with that muscle car magazine. I found more people with just a little response that they posted on. And for example, I remember tracking one person down because they had responded to an autism forum because they had a kid that had autism. And that gave me a certain piece of information that I was able to cross-reference with this other piece, and then that must be them. And if that's them, then this means that they're living over here.
Mm-hmm.
And within an hour, I can get all that I need to know about them. The internet's evil that way, that you can just track people down.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to get on the net, though. I could be in Wyoming, mm-hmm. I could be anywhere, and you got to find me.
Oh, believe me.
Wouldn't that be fun?
And I think it'd be a blast.
You don't have to get on the net, though, because
it's a prepaid phone and call in every day. Hey, you guys still hadn't found me.
I think that would be so much fun.
And it may last a day. It may last a month.
You would hate it. You'd be paranoid.
No, I think it'd be great.
And then all of a sudden some P1 calls in. Hey, yeah, I found him in North Dakota. What'd I win? Nothing.
All right, that's disappearing talk. It's 8:34 on the ticket. We've got to make some